Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you do reign in this world, that you reign in our lives. Lord, I pray now that as we turn to your word, that you would open our hearts to receive that word. Lord, as we look at our topic today, reassure us that we have the forgiveness in life through you, that we have that right now. Lord, we may not experience it to the fullest right now, but Lord, we have it for ourselves right now. Lord, we ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be racing through our minds so that we can simply focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue with this series, last Sunday we looked at two words. Does anybody remember what those two, or I guess you might could almost say four words, but what did we look at last week? If I remember right, it was the invisible church and the visible church. And I thought that song we just sung, that really could have been sung as the theme song for last week, because some of the phrasing in there, you know, it's the song of the redeemed rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation. That is a description of what the invisible church looks like. It is a gathering of believers across all times, departed, present, and those to come. That's who makes up the invisible church. Now, we talked about the fact that within the invisible church, there might be some people that are not a part of a visible church. The visible church is the churches that we see around Hamilton, that we see around Texas, the United States, throughout the world. Any church, body, building, group of people that calls themselves Christian, that is the visible church. And there might be some people that are a part of the invisible church that are not necessarily a part of a visible church. Now, I did say that that's a little bit unlikely. It can happen, but it's not very likely, because if you're wanting to deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ and you are a part of the invisible church and you are a believer in Jesus, where are you naturally going to want to be? In a visible church, right? You're going to want to be a part of a visible body of Christ. But we also talked about the fact that there could be some people within the visible church that are not a part of the invisible church. Now, this gives us a little more struggle, right? Because there could be people who from an outward appearance may be Christian, but are not really Christian. They may be going to a visible church for some other means. For themselves or whatever the case may be. And so we looked at that last week, the invisible church versus the visible church. And today what we're going to look at is a couple of words again, I guess three words, but now and not yet. And I thought about this. This is not disciplinary words like I think I used them yesterday. You know, when your child, you tell them to go clean their room, or you tell them to go clean up a mess that they have somewhere, and what do we add to the end of it? Now. Go clean your room now. Go clean up the mess now. And then about 15 minutes later, you ask them, did you clean up your room? And what do they say? Not yet. So that's not what we're talking about this morning, okay? Now and not yet is not referring to these disciplinary problems that we have with our children or something like that. But what we are talking about, it has to do with the Christian doctrine and the teaching about God's gifts of forgiveness in life. And so in order to get to that, we're going to look at the Romans passage for today. Romans, what did I do? Romans chapter 8, oh, here we are, yeah. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Okay. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of, as sons, the redemption of our bodies." And so what Paul is really getting at here is there is this struggle. And part of that struggle is the fact that we live in a sinful world. We live in our sinful bodies, and there's been a separation between God and man. And we're longing for restoration. We're longing for that division, that separation between God. We're longing for that to be restored. And it's interesting here that he doesn't just group human beings into this. What does he group in here? He says all of creation. And so what we see first and foremost, though, when sin came into the world, when Adam and Eve sinned for that first time, they were deceived by the serpent. They took that fruit and ate of it. Sin came into the world, and from that point on, man's relationship with God was severed. And God had a plan to restore that broken relationship between God and man. And so there was a severing of a man's relationship with God. But there was also a severing of relationship between man and other men. I mean, we see this all the time, don't we? I mean, people can't get along sometimes. There's struggles in relationships. There's relationships that are torn apart because of sin, because of this struggle that came into being when Adam and Eve fell into sin. So we have a relationship issue with God. We have a relationship issue with people. But we also have a relationship issue with the world and everything that's in it. Now, I know I don't want to place animals on the level of human beings. Hopefully we all know that they are not on the level of human beings, even though we may have some pets that are almost there, okay? But they're not. But the problem, what I want to address right now, is the fact that even though they're not on the same level that we are, we have sometimes relationship issues in the fact that people mistreat animals. And that's wrong. That is a sin. And so we struggle with God. We struggle with other people. We struggle with the created world. We don't take care of the environment. We pollute. We do all sorts of things. And so in all of that, our relationship with all of creation, including God, who wasn't created, by the way, I'm just putting him in. We have a struggle with God, and we have a struggle with everything else that he's created because of our fall into sin. And we are eagerly waiting for all of that to be restored, is what Paul is saying. And also the fact that it affected, I said, all of creation. And if you stop and think about it, what do you think animals' relationships to other animals was like when God created them? They got along. It was perfect. I mean, and we get the picture throughout Scripture where one day the lion will lay with the lamb again, right? What happens today if a lamb lays beside a lion? He's lunch, right? Yeah. And so from the time of the fall into sin, it affected all of creation. I mean, there's animals that kill other animals. That animals get diseases and die. Same thing for the plant world. You have plants that get diseases and die. You get crops that are infested with insects, and it kills the whole crop. I know here I don't even know how many years ago that was. A few years ago, the front side of our house had a whole row of shrubs. They just started dying. And every one of them died because they got a disease. All of that is because of what? Sin. All of creation was affected by sin. And in this passage right here, Paul points out clearly that all of creation is groaning, and pretty severe groaning when it's compared to childbirth, right? Is groaning and waiting for the day that all of that is restored back to the perfection that God created it in. And so that's the picture that we see here that Paul is trying to paint for us. And then in verse 24, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Now that very first part of verse 24, "For in this hope we were saved." What is that? What hope are we saved in? Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to forgive us. He was raised to life to promise us eternal life. That is what our hope is in. And it's not a hope that, like, we hope it rains today. It's a hope that's sure and certain, for sure, that we have been saved because of what Jesus has done for us. And we await that. We await that day that we will be restored with Jesus for eternity. And it says we wait with what? That bad word, patience, right? That's tough, isn't it? As we await things. Patience is hard, but we wait with patience. And then 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." I found those two verses kind of fascinating. Because there are a lot of times when we're dealing with stuff in life, whether it's an illness, whether it's a relationship struggle, whether it's a financial issue, whatever it is that we're struggling with, sometimes we may not even know what to pray for, what to ask for. And sometimes we may even be tempted to ask for the wrong thing, right? But what does this passage say? Before we even really know what to say, the Spirit is interceding for us according to what? The will of God. What God's will is for our life. And so as we think about this passage, I mean, Paul is really talking about, in one sense, a future glory, the restoration of all things, man and all of creation, a restoration between God and man and all of creation back to perfection. And he's talking about that we're saved through this hope that we have in Jesus Christ. What in the world does this have to do with now and not yet? Well, I'm going to tell you, okay? What it means is this hope that we have, this forgiveness, and really, this restoration that we have is ours now. When we became a believer in Jesus Christ, and for some of us, it was at the waters of baptism when we were an infant. For others, it came maybe a little later in life when when the Spirit worked in your life and you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you received the forgiveness of sins and eternal life then, right now. We have that right now. Now, I think we get the forgiveness of sins thing. We have forgiveness right now. But I don't know that we always grasp the idea that we have eternal life right now. It started when we became a believer in Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit worked in our lives, we have eternal life now. But this future glory that we're looking at, the not yet, that is when Christ will return to either take us to be with Him, or He returns on the final day when the end of the world comes. That's the not yet. And when the not yet gets here, we are going to experience things in the fullest degree. And what I mean by that is, we know that while we live here on this earth, we have forgiveness in life, but yet at the same time, we still have struggles, challenges, illnesses, sickness, loss of loved ones. We have all of that going on in our lives. And what does Scripture promise us that it will be like when we get to heaven? We're not going to have sorrow, pain, tears. We will not have any of that. And so while we have that here on earth, we still have something much greater to look forward to, the not yet, because that will be the day when the complete restoration of our life with God will be in place. And we will experience God's forgiveness, God's love, eternal life to the fullest. And as we continue to live here on this earth, we're faced with these challenges. We're faced with these dilemmas each day. We as Christians are to come alongside people who are experiencing these things in the now so that we can point them to the not yet. And the beauty of this is, as we're learning and joining Jesus on His mission, we get this wrong sometimes. We're not sent out for Jesus to do His work. What are we sent out? We're sent out with Jesus, who is already working in people's lives and placing us in their lives for the right time and the right opportunity. And so God has called us to be a witness of this now that we have forgiveness in life, so that others can experience it as well as the not yet in the future. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You that You bring us forgiveness in life, and we have that right now. But Lord, we also ask that as we live our lives in this world and we're faced with challenges and struggles each day, that we can turn to You for guidance. And Lord, that we know that whatever we're experiencing here today, here in this life, that it will not be forever. That You promise that You will restore everything back to the perfection that it was when You created it. Lord, we ask that You would just be with us as we live our lives in this world. Strengthen us for life, and also equip us so that we can be a witness of who You are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.